Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The last verse goes like this. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hey, you know what? As a Christian, I'm so glad that this world is not my final home. Jesus said in John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Last year on Sunday nights, we studied the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. And I love verse 10, speaking of Abraham, says, for he looked for a city with hatched foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking forward to heaven. Amen. Then it says later on in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 16 says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You remember Jesus in what is truly the Lord's Prayer in John chapter number 17, as he was speaking to his heavenly Father, he said, listen, my people, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But then he said this, I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you should give them grace while they're here in the world. Hey, can we say this? I thank the Lord for the fact that is revealed for those that have faith that this world is not our home. It's not our home. By the way, think about this world. I think of the sorrow in this world. The sorrow caused by so many things. First of all, number one, by way of introduction, sorrow caused by sin. Amen. We all live under the curse of sin. We live in a cursed world. I think of sickness. I think of disease. I think of pain. I think of suffering and death. That's why, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad this world is not my home. I think not only of the sorrow, but I think of the spiraling of this world. I'm so glad that we have folks in our church that are in their upper 60s and 70s and even into their 80s. You remember a different America than the one we're living in now. This America that we live in is spiraling so fast out of control. It's spiraling at a pace that has never been equal before. I think also of this world. I think of the sorrow and the spiraling. I think of the debt economically that we're in. I think of that. And I know it's a political year. Debt's really not political. It's personal. Amen. When you think about it. Dave Ramsey, a noted economist, put it simply that if the United States government were a family, their finances would be as follows. Their yearly income would be $55,000. That's not too bad. Their yearly expenses would be $96,500. That's bad. Their credit card debt would be $366,000. That's real bad. One day my kids are going to have to pay for that. Come on now, amen. And I think how the federal government refuses to cut spending and the Chinese communists own our debt. And one day they're going to come to call the debt, folks. That's just what happens, amen. By the way, Proverbs 22:7 still says, the rich ruleth over the poor and the borrower is servant unto the lender. I think of something else why I'm glad this world is not my home. I think of the divisiveness. The divisiveness, particularly politically. You know what? Some positions politically are they're flexible. We can compromise. But there are some things, folks, we can't budge or bend on. Listen, I'm not going to budge or bend on whether a person should be allowed to kill a baby. I'm not budging on that. I'm not budging on a lifestyle that God thoroughly condemns in His Word that people want to legitimize. I'm not budging on that. Amen. But the problem is, in our country, in our world, that what happens is we've lost our civility. And can I say this? Christians have lost their civility too. Can I say this? It's a lot of times is because you don't know what you believe. When you know what you believe, you can answer logically, biblically. There's a lot of people that use words that they ought not to use because they simply, Brother Boston, ran out of arguments. Hey, listen, folks. I say this often when I debate, and I debate furiously with people over this issue of homosexuality. I say this, if I cannot persuade you, I will not insult you. Listen, Christian men are supposed to be gentlemen. Come on now. Amen. Listen, I understand we have to stand where God stands, but we can do it and have a good spirit about it. We can have a firm stand. I can tell you this right now online. I have discussions going with two rabid homosexuals. Rabid! Because, Brother Becker, I treated them with kindness and civility. And that one of them thanked me. He said, "Thank you very much for explaining what you believe." Hey, listen, I don't know what's going to happen to that young man, but I know this, I don't have to apologize for the way I treated him. I think of the divisiveness in our country, that whole idea of not debating on substance and just attacking the person. I think of the degradation in our world. You know, 93% of all abortions in America are for convenience sake. They're not because of rape or incest or any of that. And I know it keeps going on and on and on. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, a sinner sins because he's a sinner. A cat meows because it's a cat. Let's not expect sinners until they receive Jesus Christ to be changed. Amen? Otherwise, they're just conformed right on their way to hell. And you think about that. Listen, I know we're supposed to be careful as Christians. We're supposed to be careful not to offend. We're supposed to be careful. The Bible tells us that. This can be done, the idea of being careful in not offending people by what we approve of. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10 says that ye may approve of things that are excellent. When I think about it, one of the reasons why I'll never apologize for taking strong stands on worldly activities is because no one will ever say, "I got off the proverbial edge because my pastor didn't preach it straight." Listen, as a pastor here, you know what I want to approve of? You know what I want to recommend? Things that are excellent. Amen? We all ought to live that way as Christians. What we approve of can offend people. We ought to be considerate. Not only our approval, but our conduct. Paul said this, Acts 24:16, "And herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Paul said, "I work at it. I work at not offending God or men." And by the way, if you have to choose, don't offend God. We ought to obey God rather than men, Peter said. Amen? Then I think of not only what we approve of in our conduct, but being considerate not to offend. Romans 14:21 said, "It's neither good to eat flesh nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or offended or made weak." He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 8:13, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Hebrews 10:24. Paul says here, look, there is nothing different about meat offered to idols. It's just meat. But to that young brother, if it bothers him, I'm not going to eat meat. Amen? Hey, listen, you could take that in a lot of different directions in your life. Just be careful of weaker brethren. Be careful not to offend. By the way, that doesn't mean you live your life on eggshells. Come on now. Amen. That's not what it means. It just means you're careful in what you consider Amen. You're careful about... The Christian life isn't all about you. And it's not all about me. Amen. It's all about Jesus. And it's about affecting other people with the gospel. May I say that there are very few, but there are some scriptural reasons where a Christian may take offense. Heresy, immorality, amen, where a Christian has a right to take offense. However, these are very rare and must be approached with the utmost caution as the irreparable harm that they can do to the body of Christ. Galatians 6:1 gives us the best advice. It says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Not only can a Christian allow themselves to be offended by the world, but they can allow themselves to be offended by other Christians. Let's be honest, though, these true offenses are very rare and are very, very often not at a Christian saying, "That offends me," or "I'm offended by that. You offended me." Very rarely is it over immorality or heresy. Amen, folks. It's usually just because you got your bees in your bonnet about something, had a bad day. Amen. It's usually more like, you know, the building committee didn't take my suggestion concerning the chartreuse carpet with purple polka dots. Amen. That offends me. Amen. The pastor didn't recognize me at the workers' banquet. I'm offended. Amen. Pastor, anything over $50 has to have a business meeting in Robert's Rules of Order. Otherwise, I'm going to get offended. Amen. Well, my children didn't get the lead in the Christmas play. I'm offended. Amen. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen. The truth is, we're all going to be wronged at some point in our life. Amen. Ask yourself the question tonight. Am I easily offended? Now, I tell you this. Did you like the answer that just came screaming back at you? When you asked yourself, am I easily offended, there's an answer that came back. Can I tell you this? Sometimes I'm easily offended. And it's not your fault. It's my fault when I'm easily offended. Come on now. It's my fault. Here are some ways that can help you as a Christian to keep from being easily offended. Let me give you several things tonight. Very practical message. We'll run through the scriptures here. Right in our text, Psalm 119, 165. Look at it with me there. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." The first way to keep from being easily offended, number one, is love God's Word. Love God's Word. If you love His Word, you will love what He loves. And it's my estimation that this is the main reason why Christians are so easily offended. They just don't love God's Word like they think they do. Amen. For if they did, they would love God's people because they're part of His family. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. When you read His Word and you see His long-suffering and His mercy and His grace to us for you, it is an absolute marvel that such petty preferences and little things can cause us to be offended with each other. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you love God's Word, nothing shall offend you, it says. Nothing. John 16:1 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Listen, when I read this book and I see how offensive I am to God, and yet He still loves me, it's pretty hard to take offense with somebody. Somebody says, "Pastor, I didn't like the way you sung that song. I didn't care for this," or I didn't like that. Honestly, if I love God, I said, "Well, sister, that's all right. You know, I mean, I did my best for the Lord. But boy, if I'm not loving the Word of God, I can sure get offended by that." Hey, listen, you love God's Word, it'll keep you from getting easily offended. Number two, go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. First of all, love God's Word. That'll keep you from being easily offended. Luke chapter 7. And then we're going to go over to Hebrews 12. So find your place there in Luke, and then we'll go to Hebrews. Luke chapter 7. Look, if you would, at verse number 23. Says, And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Number one is love God's word. Love God's word. That will be the first and easiest way to keep from being offended. But if you look at Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 3, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3. It says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Number one, love God's word. Number two, long to be like Christ. Long to be like Christ. Was anyone ever wronged any more or offended any more than the Lord Jesus Christ was? The answer to that question is no. He said here, consider him. Consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So when that person comes to you with that bad spirit and gets on your last nerve, do yourself a favor. Think about Jesus. Come on, help me, church. Amen. Think about Jesus. Listen, he didn't get offended. He didn't get offended. Who do we think we are to get offended at every little thing? I'll tell you, if you long to be like Jesus and you say, you know what, maybe in your heart you say, that does bother me, but I'm going to try to be like Christ. And as He took all the wrongs and all the misstatements and He didn't get offended, I can do that as well with this little petty thing in my life. Long to be like Christ. Love God's Word. Oh, here's an important one. Go back to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Great chapter of the Word of God. Romans chapter 8. Tremendous, tremendous chapter. Somebody has called it the Magna Carta of Christian Liberty. And it is a great chapter. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Love God's Word. Long to be like Christ. Look at verse 13. It says, "If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ." Galatians 5:24 says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh in the affections and lusts." Romans chapter 6, verse 6, just back a page or two. Look at it there. It says this, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Colossians 3:3 says, "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Here's number three. Love God's word. Long to be like Christ. Live as though you are dead. Because you are. Your sinful nature is dead. Buried in the likeness of His death. Raised to walk in newness of life. You know, never has a corpse gotten offended. Amen? That's the way we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live to mortify our flesh. And I'll tell you what, when you get offended, I'll go 9 out of 10 times. That one time, hey, if there's heresy or immorality or bad doctrine and you get offended, amen to that. I don't have any problem with that. But the other 9 times, listen, is just because your stinking flesh is rearing up. And you know what you need to do? Crucify it. Mortify it. Live as though you were dead. Love God's Word. Long to be like Christ. Live as though you're dead. Oh, this one. James chapter 1, verse 19. Look at James chapter 1, verse 19. I know we've got a couple preachers in the room. Preachers, have you ever been a victim of your own preaching? James chapter 1, verse 19. As preachers, we do a lot of talking. And that's okay. I would hope wouldn't want me on Sunday morning to stand up there and go like this. Amen. I'd assume you'd want to hear something. Amen. But what does James 1:19 says? It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." The old adage that mama and grandma taught you is still a good one. God gave you two ears and one mouth. And that means He wants you to listen twice as much as you talk. Listen more than you speak is a way to keep from being offended. Listen more than you speak. Recently, I became a victim of my own preaching on this. I was talking to someone, and they made what I thought was a critical comment of a preacher friend of mine. Let me say that one more time. What I thought was a critical comment. And I got stirred up. By the way, I do get stirred up when people criticize preacher friends of mine. I get stirred up every time. Amen. It bothers me. There's no fear of God if you'll criticize a man of God. Really. No matter who he is. If he's God's man, just take the position like David. That he's the Lord's anointed. Amen. God can take care of it. But what happened was, Brother Lowell, I didn't listen. The person was complimenting that preacher, not criticizing them. And if I had listened instead of opening my mouth and inserting my entire leg up to the knee, amen, not just the foot, amen. I mean, hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we just listen more than we talk, it'd help us to keep from getting offended. My own illustration, amen. Listen. Let people finish their statements. Amen. It'll keep you from being offended. Live as though you're dead. Listen more than you speak. Long to be like Christ. Love God's Word. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Like a chubby dog going through a barbed wire fence. A couple more points and I'll be through. Amen. Leave bitterness, number 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Number 5, if you want to keep from being offended, you're going to have to leave bitterness. You're just going to have to leave bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we will all be wronged in our life. Please say amen. We will all be wronged in our life. But the experiences that come into our lives, we have the choice of being better or bitter because of those experiences. And listen to me, I have never seen a bitter person who had any joy. I have never seen a bitter person who did not affect all those around them negatively and many times led others down the road of bitterness because of their own bitterness. Bitter people are always easily offended. Always. So you know what you have to do? You have to decide, I am not going to be a bitter person. I am not going to live in the past with this offense. I'm going to leave it at the cross. Amen. Because that's where all sin ought to be left. Bitterness is poison. It's poison. Leave it. Leave it alone. Love God's Word. Long to be like Christ. Live as though you're dead. Listen more than you speak. Leave bitterness and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll be done here. 1 of those kind of messages that presents everybody to a crossroads in their life. It's one of the messages that you could take with you, write in your Bible, and use the rest of your life if God would have you to. Because we're all going to have the potential to be offended because we're part of the human race. Amen. And not only is the world going to offend us, and certainly the world can and should offend us. Listen, we are on different teams. Amen. But as a Christian, I don't want to be offended by the little things. And I want you to look at verse number 4 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says here, 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Number six, and lastly tonight, love God's Word, long to be like Christ, live as though you're dead, listen more than you speak, leave bitterness, let people see things differently. Listen, folks, I'm not talking about the virgin birth. You don't get to see that one differently. I'm not talking about the resurrection. I'm not talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about if you're in the body of Christ and you're a thumb and somebody else is an elbow, and you think, well, I want to be the elbow. Or how come he gets to be the elbow? How come I have to? How come? Why doesn't he do like I do? Amen? Don't do that. Listen, let people see things differently. We're not all the same. We don't think the same. We don't have the same ways of arriving at the same place. And listen, if you recognize this principle, and that's the Father's plan in diversity within the unity of the body, you'll be less inclined to be offended at some personal preferences. Help me, church. Help me. Listen, you'll be less inclined to be offended. I heard this a great statement. In essentials, unity. You know what? Right here? In essentials, unity. I don't care. We don't debate doctrine. The Bible says what it says. Hasn't changed. Amen. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. Liberty. Some people like bluegrassy Christian music. They like it. It doesn't cross the line. It doesn't get into that lasciviousness. For me, Sorry, Brother Hendershot, West Virginia, I don't care for that. I love Jesus. Just doesn't do much for me, amen? That's all right. But you know what? Listen to me. There are some people that think that those people that play music like that are flat out of hell and out of the will of God. And listen, people that think that are just as wicked as the devil himself. Liberty. There's liberty. Allowing people to see things different. So in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And how about this? In all things, charity. Just being charitable. You know, I hear that kind of stuff. They call it that picking and grinning stuff. I just laugh. So, well, it's not my style, but they sure love the Lord. Sure enjoying what they're doing. Sure singing about Him and bringing Him glory. Amen. Boy, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? We don't always have to be right. We don't always have to interject our opinion into the situation. Our preferences. Amen. You can allow people to see things differently. So how can I keep from being offended? First of all, first and foremost, love God's Word. Listen, this is paramount because if I love God's Word, listen, Brother Howard, you're God's child. You say something maybe that if I'm having a bad day, I get cross, and Brother Howard never would do that, amen. But listen, he's my brother. I'm not just going to get offended at my brother. Listen, he's my brother. You know it goes. The old line goes, "Hey, you can beat your brothers up, but nobody outside the family is able to beat your brothers up. You stick up for one another." Amen. Well, why isn't it like that in the family? We stick up for one another. Hey, listen. Maybe when Brother Howard said something to me, maybe he had a real bad day that day. Amen. Maybe he lost his job. Maybe a house went under. Hey, how about that? Let's just be charitable. And here's the thing. If we love this book, we'll love Him. We'll love His people. Amen? And we'll not be so easily offended. So, love God's Word. Long to be like Christ. Oh, let's just be like Jesus. Let's just be like Jesus. You know, the only people that offended Jesus were the Pharisees. Huh? Listen. I'll leave that one right there. Amen. I'll leave that one right there. Because I'm going to tell you, there's times when I'm a stinking Pharisee. And that's when I get offended. With the Pharisees. Oh, they're not eating. They didn't wash their hands before they eat. That offends me. Amen. Ugh. Live as though you're dead. A corpse never got offended. Never did. Listen more than you speak. Leave bitterness. Oh, if you didn't hear anything I said tonight, make sure you hear that. Leave bitterness. Just put it in the trash can where it belongs. And let people see things differently.